Well, good morning to you again, church family. As we say, our eternal family, our forever family. It's good to have family. As our culture has it, and we are a transient people. Oftentimes, as we get older, our family moves away or we move away. But it nonetheless doesn't end our need for family. Plus, this family, God's giving us a bit of time to get used to one another since we're going to have to look at each other for eternity. So get used to this face. I'll get used to yours. What a great thing it is to be back. And some of you, and I got a number of messages from some of you and talked to you, and I really do thank you for the encouragement. You know, I had gone through a difficult time. Some of it was chemically induced, and I was able to get off of that, and I view life much better. But it did give me an opportunity to understand the concept of hopelessness, and it gave me a new appreciation, which is one of the things, you know, we're going to talk about today. And last time it was... It was more about hope for today. We're going to talk about hope for eternity, and both of them are important. Christianity, in fact, everything in this world is essentially a story of holiness to brokenness to holiness. We sang this song, and we talked about holiness yesterday. Greg always wants to know in our Saturday morning men's group, how much of the sermon did we talk about today? Because it's almost inevitable that every Saturday, whatever it is we talk about, is part of the sermon, which I've already prepared. Most of the time. But it does add some things sometimes, and we talked about the holiness of God yesterday, and then Josh comes up with this last song plus the one before that, holy, holy, holiness of God. So when God created it, right? God is holy, and then He created us, and we were holy to start with, and His creation was holy as far as it was pure, but then somehow, rebellion and sinfulness came in, and so we were born into a broken and fallen world with broken and fallen bodies and broken and fallen hearts and minds. And so Christianity really is that journey, and the message of the Bible is about this journey. It's the narrative of this journey from holiness where we started to holiness where we can end up. And how do we get from that point, and how does God continue to both reconcile us and then make us more holy? As it says, be holy as I am holy. Now, we're never going to be as holy as God in this life, and we're not going to be like God in the next life, but we're going to have no sin nature. So God is moving us towards holiness right now. Yeah. I thought about this. What's a good analogy? And you know, God reconciles us and we're saved, and He puts us on the holiness trolley. Okay, and here we are, and most of the time we get a little discouraged and we jump off. And then God just parks it and waits for us to come back on to because this is a journey He's never going to quit on, and He's going to bring us toward holiness. So sometimes He sends rain and snow and hail to get us to think, hey man, here outside the trolley is not a really good place to be. I'm going to go back on. And so that's where we're at. We're on the holiness trolley as God, not you, God, is bringing you closer to Himself and transforming your life after He's reconciled you back. And so that's the hope we have. See, the hope we have is that God is working in us today, and He's also bringing us into completeness in the next phase of our existence. And so we're going to talk about those things. I'll review a little bit about last time. But first, we're going to have our younger members come up. And if you feel like you're a younger member, just come on up. I'm not going to put numbers to that. Okay, but come on, you guys. Don't be shy. How is everybody? I didn't see you this week at Kids Jam because Kids Jam is over for a while. But I sure do miss you guys, and I missed you Essners because you were out of town for a while. So I'm so glad you're all here. Hey, Wesley, how are you doing, buddy?
Good.
All right. Okay. Now, you guys have done some traveling, but how about the rest of you? If you could pick anywhere to go, where would you go?
And we all went to Jurassic Park before.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Would you like to go back again?
Yeah.
Sweet. How about you?
Disney World.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, anybody else? Where would you like to go?
To my nan's house.
Oh, yeah.
Candy
and yep. How about Hawaii? Well, you guys might not appreciate just tropical stuff. You probably more like amusement parks. Anywhere else?
Yeah. Maybe next year
we're probably going to go to Hawaii. Yeah, that would be good. Okay, so here you go. This is an award certificate, and it is blank as far as who it's presented to. But let me read this. This is an award certificate presented to, and you can put your name there, for a one-month trip to anywhere you want. And you will get $1 million of spending money to take with you so that if you just want to be hauled around by a limousine with a food truck running behind you with all of your favorite foods and go and do anything you want and buy whatever you want to bring back, $1 million of spending money. And you can take whoever you want with you. Amen. All right. All right. Bob will sign up. Yeah. Okay. So, if I put your name on this, there's only one catch. You can't cash it in until 30 years from now. Bob, you're out then. And so am I. Okay. But what would you guys like that? If you could put your name, even if it's 30 years from now, would that be cool? Okay, so, but would it only be good, let's just say I didn't tell you about it, but I put your name on it, and I put it up here, and you had no idea that it was out there. Would that give you much fun when you think about it? No, I don't know anything about that. It'd be cool 30 years from now when you got it, but... Or what if you said, well...
And not even, care about it.
Yeah, I know. You wouldn't even care about it then, would you? Okay. So, yeah. Well, trust me. If you become an adult, you'd still care about it. That would still be fun. I would like to do that. But what if you said, well, Tim, that's cool. You can put my name on there. But I don't believe you really can carry out this whole thing. I don't think you have the $1 million. Plus, I don't think you can make it happen. Would it then be any good? No. Or what if I said this? Well, I've got this for you, but I got my eye on you, and for the next 30 years, if you do something wrong, what would you think about it then? Be like, okay, well, I'll never see that. And that's so that's what God's got for us, right? I mean, he says, it's there. I can come through with it, and I'm not going to pull it away just because you misbehaved. And I got the $1 million. Yeah. All right, so let me ask you some questions.
I don't think you got the $1 million.
Okay. You're right. So let me ask you some questions. So if that was true, and I actually could come through with it, and I'm not going to take it away from you if you misbehave, and I absolutely guarantee it's still going to be there in 30 years, and actually Disney World will be even better than it is now. Would you be happy about it now? Would that make you happy if I gave you that today? And I just said, okay, it's still 30 years away, but would you feel like, yeah, hey, that's a pretty cool thing. I'd be happy I got that. Would you? Yeah. Would you be willing to give up something today to have it then? If you said, well, that's a long time away, but I would be willing to say, I will give up this if I can have that later. Would you do that? That's hard for us. It's called delayed gratification, right? Because we like stuff today, right? But would you be willing to say, well, I would be willing to give up maybe playing soccer if I could have that whole package 30 years from now? Something like that. Something you like now. Would you be willing to give it up?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Would you think about it when you're going through a tough time? Like, my dog ran away, you know, all kinds of my house caught fire, but boy, I'm just going to think about that trip that I'm going to get 30 years from now, and it'll help me feel better about today. You think?
Yeah, that's good.
I think it would for me. Okay, now here's an even harder one. If I said, I'm going to whack you in the back of the head with a stick every once in a while, would you be willing to suffer a little bit now to have that trip later?
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right. Woohoo! All right. There you go. Give me five. All right. Some of those things are true. I mean, some of those things, God says, I have this hope for you. And some of that hope is for today. It is. We're going to talk about that in a second. We talked about it last week. But a lot of it is later. But it's still supposed to affect how we think today about what God's got in store for us much later. Okay? That's what today's lesson is about. If you guys kind of remember this, and they'll remember that. All right? I think they have something for you downstairs. Thanks for coming up. We talked last time about hope. It's something we all need. We need it today. So you recognize that you will not have hope or need hope in the next phase of your life. Because it says hope is things that that you don't have, right? Things that not yet attained. I'm hoping things are going to get better. I'm hoping my life is going to get better here. I'm hoping that I have this eternal destiny. But when I have it, I will no longer need hope. I'll have it. Okay. So hope is only for now because we're still broken. And since we were created to not be broken originally, then we understand that this brokenness is not what we were meant for. And everybody is out there with hope, seeking to satisfy the needs of their soul somehow. But if you're not doing it the right way, if you're not getting the things that God created you to need in your soul by getting reconciled back to God, then you're never going to find them. And in the end, you will get a sense of hopelessness. And maybe it's not till the end, or maybe you've tried something and you're expecting it to provide what you need, and you find out that it doesn't, and you get a sense of hopelessness. But here's one of the problems, and well, two things, I guess. One of them is we forget. You know, like I told the kids, one of the things I have to know I have it. So, okay, you come here and you hear these messages and you say, hey, tell me about the things that God's promised me here in this life. And I gave you four last time. There's a lot more, but sometimes we forget or we get jaded about it or, you know, I just had it a long time and I start to take it for granted. Right. One of those things I talked about last time. Sometimes you don't really appreciate something until it's gone. So maybe you've lost your sense of hopefulness about this life. And it's certainly easy to do. There's a lot of factors out there that could create a loss of hope in this life because this life is hard, right? And so I need hope for today, and so I need to focus on and some of the things we talked about last time. I'm not exactly sure why this happened, but it does. It's not functioning for me there. I don't know. Maybe we'll try a different one. Hope for now. This is what we talked about. Thank you, Andy. Hope for now. This is what we talked about last time. And these are just four, right? I can be loved and accepted now, no matter what. I have an identity that works. And we had a verse there. And so that's important. Now, we all need love and acceptance. We all need an identity that works. And so God says, I'm giving you that for now. And so when I get into those situations where I don't feel loved and accepted, or I don't feel like I really understand who I am and where I fit in, and am I worthy, and am I worth something, then God says, I have that. Here it is. It's yours. You can be loved and accepted by me always, and you can know it. Okay, but do we forget it sometimes? Yes. Because sometimes it doesn't seem like that's not true. Yes. Emotionally, it seems like it, right? Sometimes I just don't feel loved and accepted. And certainly sometimes by the people around me, I don't. Or that I understand really who I am and what my value is in this world. And so God says, I've given you that, and I need you to have that because I know you're going to need it. That is the hope. When you don't have it, I hope for it. There's a plan and a purpose for my pain and my struggle. James, you said that a couple of times. God has a plan in our life. And when we're going through the struggles, we need the hope that somehow someone's in charge that loves me and that there's a plan. And it may not be the plan I want, but God's working all things together for my good, and I trust him. That's part of the hope we need to have in this life when things are really hard. And then someone who loves me who's in total control. And so being in control and loving me and working all things together for my good, that's an absolutely marvelous combination of things, but it oftentimes doesn't feel like it, like that's true. And so God, okay, I understand. Sometimes it's not going to feel like it's true. I'll write it down and give it to you. You're going to need this one. You're going to need this one. You're going to need this one when things are hard and you think, how in the world can anything good come out of this? You know, I shared with you last week, you know, I was asking myself that question about this depression that I'd been in. And you know, God said, no, there's a purpose here. One of the purposes I'm going to tell you is you've taken this hope for granted, and I'm going to give you a view of what it looks like when you don't have it. Okay, and it did, and it accomplished something in me, and so praise God for that. And then I can be significantly changed for the better in this life. We understand we're broken in the confluence of the way we live our lives and all these things that happen. We recognize I'm broken. I mean, we can put on airs and we can show people and, okay, I can put on this persona that I've got it all figured out and I'm good and I'm, but down deep we all know. And so we're wanting to be better now. God can, and so we try it on our own, and we try to figure out ways of self-improvement, and I listen to all the people and read all the books, and I'm trying to make myself better and fix myself. Then it doesn't work, or I can only do it for a while. But then I can go to God's word and say, you know, I'm in there, and the one who began a good work in me, he's never going to give up. So the trolley's always there, right? The holiness trolley is like, okay, I've stepped off, but it's always there, and I can get back on, and okay, we'll start the journey again. Because pretty much here's the deal, folks. I might have said this in Sunday school today. In the holiness journey, both to reconcile you back to God so that you can start being transformed and the transformation, pretty much the best thing you can do is just get out of God's way. As human beings, we love to get ourselves wrapped into the process like, I did that. I chose God. You know, I look around and see a lot of other options of people who didn't do that, and no, but I did. But that's not what the Bible says. It tells us in Titus, not by any righteous deeds we've done, but by the washing and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so get out of God's way. Both in being saved, because God is going to do the work in you, and that is a good thing. That should provide you some hope for today, that I did not have to earn it, and I'm not going to have to earn keeping it, my salvation. Okay. That's very important. Because God will do the work. But sometimes, it's clear. I mean, if you look at your own life and I look at my own life, I can see times when I was not growing in God as much as I should have because I was getting in the way by not dying to myself and not putting myself on the altar and the sins that I had and then renewing my mind with the truth of God's word. No, get out of God's way. There's very little you need to do here except get out of God's way and die to yourself. Okay, so we get into the next level of, okay, I talked about those things, and clearly there are way more than those four things. You know, we talk about, okay, what else is there? Well, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for God is with me. All of those things are part of the hope, and they weren't part of the four points last time. So what about this hope for eternity? Society has changed in its view of the afterlife probably back way early on. Every culture and probably most people had some sort of view, most of them wrong, but that, okay, there is something after this life. But as we entered the age of enlightenment and God was no longer needed and people were starting to believe that humanity is the center of the universe and man starts to take on all this stuff for himself and being the God of his own life, this is all there is. Now, I ask this question probably more so when I'm trying to develop a spiritual conversation with people that I don't know if they're saved or not. I ask them, what do you think happens after we die? A fair amount of the time, people will say, well, I think this is all there is, and that's fairly, in the history of humanity, that's a fairly new thing to think. I mean, different times throughout history, there have been different cultures who believe that this is all there is, or they think that, okay, you can be reincarnated, or that there's something, but the biblical view of the next world, the next phase of your life, is not that common today. I mean, I'm sure it's out there. Or, yeah, I understand maybe there's something afterwards, and all I have to do is be a little bit more good than I am bad, and I'll have some sort of a good outcome. I'm not exactly sure what it's going to look like. But here's what the Bible says in John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And the rest of Scripture is going to tell us, yes, indeed, there is life after this one. But there are two options for that, only two. You're going to be forever with God, or you're going to be forever without God. And so the hope that we have is, yes, indeed, this is not all there is. In fact, Paul writes in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people the most to be pitied. Why do you think he says that? Well, because if I'm devoting my whole life to this person, Christ, and I'm dying to self, and I'm trying to live a life where I am focused on the needs of others instead of focused on myself, and then I get to the end and it's all nothing, we put our hope in something that's not gonna happen. We put our hope in something that fails. But fortunately, that's not the case. In fact, it goes on in 1 Corinthians 19 to talk about, 15, to talk about the resurrection. And it's very specific. All the way through, you can read it through in 1 Corinthians 15. He talks about what does it mean to be resurrected? What is the hope of that? What's going to happen to us at the end of the story when Jesus returns and we get this new body, this new resurrected body, and we're all resurrected, and those that are in Christ who have died are resurrected and given a new bodies. Those who are still alive, their bodies are changed in an instant, and we will have our completely sinless bodies, and we're going to live in the flesh for the rest of eternity with no sin in the presence of Jesus. Okay. That's the hope we have for the next life. There is something after this. There is something after this. And for you, as a believer, it's wonderful. So eternal destiny for believers is going to be infinitely better than what's here. All right. But not only is there life after this, but it's not like this. How many of you would like to just think, oh yeah, this is cool, I'm going to eternally live on earth the way it is? No thanks. No thank you. And so God says this, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. And you can see it in different parts of Scripture. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing, that God doesn't give us a really descriptive, outlined view of exactly how the whole process works and what it's going to look like exactly. There's a lot of metaphors, a lot of symbolism, a lot of things that are hard to understand. You know, am I supposed to take that literally? Is it really going to be streets of gold with pearly gates? No. Okay. But I think God does that intentionally. I mean, he's very smart. He says, look, I could have explained it down to the minute detail, but I want them to have faith in me and hope that when I tell them this right here, here's the thing. You have no background, you have no perspective in which you can even imagine how wonderful this next life of yours is going to be. I'm just going to tell you, trust me on this one. Way better than the certificate of a one-month trip with $1 million. Okay. Way better. Okay, trust me on this. You can't even imagine. I can only imagine. I love this song. I can't even imagine what it says. So we know that there's something else beyond this life. And we know that it's so unbelievably better. And it's because we've moved from brokenness to holiness. And we are now intimately in relationship with Jesus with no sin to block that. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I'm saying, can you expand a little bit on the second half of that first scripture up there where it says, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life.
Right. Okay. So life and death are a metaphor for being with God and being separated from God. Okay. So if you have been reconciled to God through accepting Jesus Christ's sacrifice on your behalf and accept him as your Lord and Savior, you will see life. There will be those, and in fact it says in the scriptures that the road to salvation is narrow and few will be on it. The road to destruction is wide and many will be on it. And so, frankly, it looks like the majority. If they don't obey the Son, they are not going to see life, but they are then objects of God's wrath, and that wrath will remain on them for the rest of eternity.
That's referring to intentional sin, right?
No, that's talking about those that accept Christ and those that don't. Because even those that accept Christ still sin, and unfortunately, some of it is intentional. But those sins are covered by the blood of Christ, all of them, past, present, and future. Thank you for the question. Yeah, and so that's very important, though, isn't it? Because what is that telling us is we're not earning what we're getting, and no one can take it away, and we're going to see that. Okay. The achievement of this destiny does not depend on my own efforts. This is a hope that we need to really appreciate because mankind loves to insert themselves into the process to the point that I have earned this, God. I was smart enough to choose you. I am working hard to be obedient, and so I need to be rewarded. But then you also have to accept the other part, right? Well, when I am not performing, we're going to take it away, which is the next one. I can never lose this destiny, nor can anyone take it away from me. That is a hope, just like the certificate. Number one, can God come through on his promise? Absolutely. It's impossible for God to lie. Does he have the resources to make it happen? Absolutely. He's sovereign in control of everything. Is it based on me performing a certain way? No. We're going to look at, though, what is that about then? Well, if I punch my ticket and I'm going to heaven, well, what does it matter how I live? Okay. It does. Not that it's going to cost you your salvation. It's going to cost you a lot of other things, though. But I can never lose it. Now, I know that that's not universally taught in Christianity, but I believe it's true. I believe the Bible says, and we've talked about it before, man, because literally, and I know, Ron, you say this, if I could have lost my salvation, I would. I believe it's kept. And so how do we know that? Well, let's take a look. So first, we know it's not by our own works, right? It isn't something that God's saying, look, if you just work hard enough, I'm willing to put you into the cool kids club. No. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. What does it mean? I think it means both. The grace and the faith were nothing to do with you. I gave you both. Gave it to you. In Titus 2, right? Or Titus chapter 3, and it talks about, you know, it's not by the righteous works of yourself, but it is by the washing and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So God comes, changes your heart and mind, you are exposed to the message of the gospel, you accept it, and God has done all of that. So that none may boast and get a big fat head or think that somehow they deserved it. And then we go on to see, well, what is this thing and how secure am I? Well, here's what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, that was grace, reconciled by the resurrection and the sacrifice of Christ, into this, an inheritance that is imperishable, can't go away, can't grow old, can't just somehow rot. Nope, it's there. It's undefiled, pure, it's unfading, and it is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. God is powerful. And he is guarding your salvation, because if he gave it to you to carry around, you would lose it somewhere. If I said, this certificate that I would give the kids, guess what? Here, kids, here, let me fold that up and put it in your pocket. What are the chances they're going to have it 30 years from now? Even me, right? If I did it, it would go through the wash for sure. I do that all the time. But in fact, God said, nope, here, I'm going to have you look at it. Now I'm going to go put it in my safe, and it's going to be safe in there because I'm keeping it under arm guard until you need it. Okay. Eternal security is part of the hope that you have. Now, see, I've been asking our church family for a long time, share the hope you have with other people, right? We had the class, How to Share Your Faith. See, this is what we have. This is what we have to share, both the hope of this life and the hope of eternal life. And it is a gift that is so precious. Why would we not want to share it? And yet we get freaked out, we get a little afraid, we get uncomfortable. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ as Lord, as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that you have, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Okay, that's what the Bible says. See, I've given you this hope. Now I'm expecting you to go out and share it with people. This is what we have. This is what we have. This hope that every human being needs Every day, to survive and thrive in this life, I have to believe there's something better, or this life is going to steamroll me. And if it isn't happening now, it's going to happen at some point. Life is going to steamroll you. And if you don't have this hope, if you can't go back and recognize that I have hope both for this life and for the next life, okay. This is just a small portion of the evidence that God's Word has given you for the hope that belongs to you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't done that, you got to do it. Because without it, you have no hope. You're going to go back to the one we just talked about, and you're going to find out that I'm going to be an object of God's wrath for the rest of eternity. But if you then see that and accept the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and recognize that he was resurrected as a sign to you that there's life after this, and that you can be part of it, then you can have that same hope. And God is keeping it and will never take it away based on your performance. Have you ever thought about it? I've developed a lot of different, ideas as I've studied Christianity over a longer period of time. Because I used to believe that you could lose your salvation, and that a lot of people do. And then, you feel the guilt. And God, so we're going to talk about this. I got to get to it real quick. We're going to talk about this in a minute. But did you ever feel like, well, certainly I felt like, God, why'd you choose me? What a loser I am. And, man, if I had picked you and you performed the way that I have, man, I'd have booted you out long ago. You ever feel like that? Yeah. Okay. So we know that that's not true, right? Because we have that hope that it isn't based on what we have done. It's based completely on what Jesus has done for us. And when God looks at us, now this is the holiness thing, right? We have this positional holiness and then we have this practical holiness, okay? So when God looks at us now, when we are still broken, still sinning, he sees Jesus. That's what it says. We are cloaked with the righteousness of Christ. And so when God looks at us now, he doesn't see our faults. Now, does that mean he doesn't see our sin? No. He wants us to recognize that we're sinful and want to be better and then sacrifice ourselves to God and die to ourselves and let God fix us. So it isn't like he's ignorant of it, but when he sees us from that positional standpoint, he sees the righteousness of his Son, whose blood sacrifice covered all of our sins, all of our sins, all. All. Does God want us to not sin? Yes. Does he convict us of our sin with his Holy Spirit? Yes. Should we feel bad about it? Yes. Should we want to do better? Yes. But if it was based on our performance, I don't even want to think about the percentage of us that would still be in heaven. It's probably zero. Okay, so that's the hope we have. Now, okay, Tim, you've given us a reminder of what God has in store for us now and for eternity, and yes, I need. So what effect should that have on us? What should our eternal destiny do for us now? Now, I asked the kids a couple questions. Would you be willing to suffer? Would you think about it and be happy today? Knowing what's in store for you in eternity, would that help you get through now? Would it change your perspective on life? Would it motivate you to want to please the one who is providing it for you? Okay. The answer to those things is yes. I'm sorry? Oh, I know. Okay. Hope for eternity. All right. What does the Bible say? Does the Bible have something to say about how our eternal destiny and it being out there, even though it's 30 years away? If you're a kid, that's a long, long time. Now, for me, it's a heartbeat. But what does it say? Okay, here's what it says. We read the first part already. Right. All the things that God has done in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Read it already when we were talking about the hope we have for today. Okay, and hope we have in eternity. In this, you rejoice. In what? Well, in the fact that there's this eternal destiny and it's kept in heaven for you and it's never going to fade or spoil or be taken away and God is keeping it for you. Okay, that. In that, you rejoice. Now, is it talking about then? No, she's not saying rejoice then. We know we'll be rejoicing then. No, what he's saying is, what God is saying in 1 Peter is, now in this life, think about that and be joyful, even though for now, for a little while, if necessary, clearly it's been necessary. You've been grieved by various trials. Okay, so is my eternal destiny supposed to give me joy in the midst of this thing where it's testing my faith, which is more precious than gold, even though it perishes when it's tested by fire, so that it can be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ? So he's saying, look, there is, when you rejoice and you accept this, even though you're going through trial, you're going to be building this praise and glory and honor when Jesus comes back to get you. Delayed gratification, but enjoy it now. It's going to be great then, but are we supposed to find some sort of joy in knowing that our destiny in eternity is fixed? I hope you are. Sometimes that's all we can have. Sometimes it's like, God, I really am. It'd be fine if this part was over. You got any trucks running around there that are out of control? That's okay. God's given us this gift of hope for eternity that we're supposed to be enjoying and finding joy in today. And like I say, sometimes life is so hard, maybe that's all you can grab a hold of at the time. But see, he's not ignorant of the fact that we're going to be going through this. But they're also, we go back to their hope for today, that, hey, there's a purpose of this. It is purifying us. And then consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you go through trials of various kinds, for the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance will finish its work so that you can be complete and mature, lacking in nothing. Okay. That's the hope we have. So I can hold on to that, knowing that there's a purpose, and I can go back and find joy in the fact that God's destiny for me is so great, I can't even imagine it, and no way is it ever going to be taken away, or I'm going to lose it. But though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory by obtaining the outcome of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. So the fact that I know my soul is being saved and preserved for eternity with God is supposed to be filling me with joy that is inexpressible. I got to admit, it doesn't always. I wish it did, but it doesn't always. Okay. So let's go on to the next one. What else does the Bible say? It should be the anchor of your soul, so that there are two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that's set before us, the hope of this life, the hope of the next life, so that we have as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. You should read this whole passage in Hebrews. It's great. It's talking about Jesus as the high priest and how he goes behind the curtain and he's there advocating for us with God about us and how this is an anchor. How many of you feel like sometimes everything around you is crumbling and you don't really have something that you can hold on to and anchor down your life and your soul with? I know if you don't have the hope of Christ, I'm guaranteeing you at some point you're going to feel that. God says, I know life is tenuous. I know it seems chaotic. I know it seems hard. I know it seems painful and difficult. But here's an anchor for you to hold on to that will never, ever change. It's the hope of the salvation of your soul that I bought for you and can never be taken away. Along with the fact that I'm going to give you the needs of your soul and make them available for you right now. The hope of our salvation and eternal destiny should be an anchor that we can hang on to. It's based on Jesus Christ and God who cannot lie and will never change. All right, what else? What else is it? Okay, so it's helping us to say no to worldly passions. For the grace of God has appeared in Titus 2, 11 through 14. Bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. So, okay, God appeared. He's bringing eternal salvation, which is training us to renounce all of the worldly garbage that we're involved in now and live upright and godly lives so we can earn it? No. But by gratitude and faith and trust in God that I want to please the one who has given me this unshakable salvation for all time, now I want to please him, and he's even going to help change me in this life so that I can put away worldly passions and live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life, both for the glory of God and for our good. Waiting for this blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Jesus Christ our Savior, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all this lawlessness and impurity and unholiness as a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. So God is saying, look, part of your eternal destiny should be motivating you for good works and to change, but in order to change, you can't change yourself, but you do need to die to self. Thinking about my eternal destiny should help motivate me to die to myself. How about the next one? Should give us a new perspective. My eternal destiny should give me a new perspective because it's giving me the bigger picture. Okay? If then you've been raised with Christ, reconciled to God by becoming a Christian, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Okay, so this life is hard. There is definitely hope in this life. God is with us. He helps us get through the hard times. He's constantly trying to transform us into the image of Christ. But he's telling us, this is not all there is. I know this is hard. Focus on things above, both today and in eternity. Have a picture of the eternal perspective of what's going on will help you navigate the storms that you're going through now. Once again, that's sometimes all we can get our hands around. God, this life sometimes is so hard, all I can think about is you, and God wants us to think about him. Keep your minds on things above, not on the things of this earth, for you have died. I have to recognize in this perspective, I have died. The old Tim Henley is gone, and he's being restructured by God, and now my life belongs to Christ. He bought and paid for it. And in that sense, I have to recognize I'm firmly in God's hands. He loves me. He's working all things together for my good. And I have to focus on the bigger picture. Because in reality, the things that we're enduring here are a blink of an eye in comparison to the eternal glory we're going to experience with Jesus. We need hope for today. We need hope for eternity. But we need to use both of those things to affect the way we see and live. And so you have to think about it. We need to be reminded about these things constantly so that we're always focusing where we need to be, and that's on Christ, both for today and for eternity. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we are so blessed. Most of the time, we don't recognize it. We take it for granted, or we just are so wrapped up in the things of this world that we forget. So, Lord, help us to remember all the things you've already secured in our behalf, both to save us and to fix us and to live with you eternally. And help that, Lord, give us peace and joy while we live in this life, and motivation to live to please you, but also to share this hope that we have with others. And we need your Holy Spirit's help to do that. So we thank you and praise you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.